Everybody and welcome. All right, let me just say this first and foremost again. I am sorry about yesterday. I don't know what's going on. I have done everything that I know to do, and I think that we will be in good shape this morning. Maybe you got here earlier this morning and saw a live stream of the curtain, and that was because I was running a test. It ran for 20 minutes straight with no issues this morning. The only thing I can figure is there might be something going on with the towers or something going on at around 7:10, something like that. If that's the case, then we may have to change the time of our daily devotional to 7:30 instead of 7 o'clock. But we'll just see what happens today. Okay. So, again, welcome to you. I'm glad that we are together. Sorry for the disjointed nature of yesterday and how everything went down. Technology, it's a frustrating thing. Yesterday's live stream cut out, and then the one after that went just fine. I don't know why, but I'm glad to be with you again today. And I'm especially glad because of the subject content we come to. For you see, we've been going through the high priestly prayer of Christ, where first Jesus prays for himself, and that consists of him praying for God's glory to come. Then Jesus prays specifically for his disciples, okay? Certainly there is some carryover, there are some things that relate to us by extension, but really verse 6 through 19 is for his disciples. We can learn a lot of things from 6 through 19, but nevertheless, Jesus is praying for his disciples right then and there, not you and me today. And the reason I know that is because where we come to today is a transition where he does pray. He does pray for those that not only belong to him, but those that will belong to him. And y'all, that means me and you today. Assuming, of course, that you do belong to him. Now, that's where we pick up today in verse 20. Again, if the live stream cuts out, give me 2 or 3 minutes and come back and you will see that I have started another one. So, John chapter 17, without further ado, verse 20, Jesus is still praying here. And he says, he prays, my prayer is not for them alone. Well, who's the them alone? The them alone, of course, is the disciples that he has just been praying for. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is the building of the church, because who in the modern world does not believe because of the message of the disciples or anyone else after that? Realize Jesus' method of ministry. He poured himself into these 12 men, and as a result, the whole world was changed. And really, it's 11 men, because Judas, the son of perdition, would very soon hereafter kill himself for betraying Christ. So Jesus poured himself into these 11 men, and as he's praying here, which remember what this prayer is, this is Jesus' last prayer that we have on record. Certainly he prays from the cross, Gethsemane, all that business. But as far as what we know, what we hear, this is Jesus' last large intercessory prayer for the disciples, for you and me. And again, what he's pointing to here is all believers everywhere across time. Okay? That's what he's getting at here. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, verse 21, that all of them may be what? I stopped there for a reason. You know, it's fascinating to me. Last words are very important things when you hear somebody give last words, but also last prayers. Remember who we're dealing with here. This is Jesus. This is God the Son, the one that was with God in the beginning. If you go back to chapter 1 of John, you'll see that. Jesus could ask for anything from the Father, and it would be given to him. And furthermore, Jesus had the power. He is divine to have anything he wants. And this being his last prayer for you and me in his earthly ministry, what do you think Jesus asked for? Of all the things he could ask for, what did he ask for? Verse 21, that all of them may be one. that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, Christian unity is one of those things that we talk about as if it's a good thing, but did you catch what Jesus revealed here in his prayer? It's very powerful. Jesus, right here in verse 21 through 22, he says that the way the world will know that he is who he said he was, the way the world will see Jesus' own authenticity, is not through what angels do. It's not through miracles. It's not through any host of things that we might think would be the way to show the world that Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus said the way that the world would know that God had sent him, the way that the world would know that he is authentic, is through the way that you and I, if you're a follower of Christ, are united to one another. Now, with that in mind, let us consider a few things. If the way the world knows that Jesus is who he said he was, by the way that Christians are united to one another, need we be very surprised at the fact that so much of the world rejects Jesus? That the world doesn't know him? Y'all, we've got a serious issue going on here. And some of it for very good reason. This, the fact that Christians everywhere are not united sometimes doesn't come down to, say, issues of being contrary or just not wanting to get along. There are some serious divides in American Christianity. It's a fascinating time, really it is. It seems like there are segments of the visible church that I've talked about this before, and I'm not going to beat this dead horse. I've said it before. There's so much of the church that isn't really the church at all. But there are such sharp divisions over lots of different things that make our unity strained at best and non-existent, really, in reality. And y'all, what a terrible thing it is. Certainly, there are doctrinal issues that separate us, and I understand that. But bigger than that, at least the church in the United States, there are core issues that divide us. So what are we to do? If the world will know that Jesus is authentic by how we're united to one another, and yet we got churches spread all over the place, it's not as bad in Virginia as it was when I was in South Carolina. I mean, I remember the first church that I ever, or the second church I ever pastored in, we went to a Christmas thing with some church members, and I said, oh, this is a lovely church. Where did this church come from? What's this church's history? And then, I kid you not, the person I talked to said, well, let me think here. Such and such church split, and then that church split and formed that church, and then that other church split and formed this church, and then I think it was Unity that split and formed this church. And I was like, this is the edge of the ironic universe, because you just said that the church called Unity split. Okay, there was a disagreement, there was a fight, and the church named Unity split. What does that do to our testimony of who Jesus is? I mean, really and truly, I understand that there are differences of doctrine. The reality is this, y'all. None of us are completely right all the time. I freely admit that. Do I think I'm proceeding in error? No, I don't. But you probably don't either. And in heaven, we'll figure that sort of thing out. The issue is this. The question is, well, then what are we to do with this? If you drop back to 16, right? Go back, or excuse me, chapter 17, verse 13. Jesus prayed, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things that while I am still in the world, or while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world, your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So there's the first part of it. We ought to be different. Yes, we have different beliefs in terms of doctrine, but Christianity as a whole ought to look different than the world around us. And then here's the real key. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Now that's the issue here, because we got a real issue, especially in Christianity in the United States, over the issue of truth. We disagree over what truth even is. It is such a strange time where, in some ways, we in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, Old Providence ARP Church, in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, we tend to have more in common sometimes with Roman Catholics, because at least a lot of Roman Catholics believe that truth exists. I mean, it's such a strange time in Christianity. It doesn't make any sense. But the issue there is truth, of course. And so what do we do if we have different definitions of truth? Continue reading. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You know, if our unity points to the validity of Jesus and his message, our unity cannot be based on every single little intricate thing. Our unity must be based on the Word of God. And again, you and I may be at odds over a particular doctrine, but to behave like heathens over that, to treat each other poorly over that, my goodness, if somebody believes that the Bible is God's word, and I know this sounds very ecumenical, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, have the Big Ten or anything like that, but really and truly, y'all, do you realize that a time is coming where we will not have the luxury anymore of arguing over things like, I don't know, how to take communion and whether babies should be baptized or adults should be baptized? We don't have that kind of time anymore. Because, y'all, did you hear what Jesus said in verse 13 and following? He said that the world hates them, and the world is coming after them. And I don't know if you realize this, but that's what's going on in so much of the world today. And we've got to get real, not only for our sense of unity, but for the validity of Christ. Our testimony is at stake here, is what Jesus is praying. That's what he reveals here. That's why he says in verse 21, he prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then he continues, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So not only is Jesus' authenticity proven by the way that believers are united to one another, God's love is proven by the way that we unite with one another. Now, that ought to change the way that you see your fellow believer. It ought to change the way that you're interacting with your fellow believer. My goodness, y'all, we got an issue. We got some real issues. There's a segment of the church out there that is always looking to pick a fight, that's always looking to burn somebody down, and they make it so religious. Please. Please, if you're looking to burn somebody down, that ain't religious, that's demonic, it's wicked, and you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. Quit it. Stop. But for those of you that have this desire, take this prompting from Jesus and realize that God is working this out. Jesus asked for it, and God is going to do this. You know, people ask all the time, well, what about the book of Revelation? Where does the United States fit in? And I usually say, well, the United States isn't mentioned in Revelation. And if it is, we're probably in that whore of Babylon category, to be terse about it. But nevertheless, realize that what Jesus asks for, Jesus gets. And, you know, the start of the book of Revelation, if you really want to know how Revelation applies to us, it's the warnings to the churches. And the constant warning is, I'm going to remove my lampstand from you. I'm going to remove the spirit from you. you are going to die as a church if you don't straighten up by filling in the blank. There's different issues. Go back and watch that series. I did it when we went into quarantine. But nevertheless, that's what we really need to be paying attention to here. Because God is going to do what Jesus has asked. The question is, are we going to cooperate with what God is doing by uniting together? Verse 24, Jesus concludes by saying, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved the world before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. My friends, do you realize that that's what this Christianity thing really is all about? It's not about decisions made once upon a time. It's not about having a checklist to follow. It's not about making sure that you fill in the blank. It's not about that. Christianity is about union with Christ. And the beauty of the gospel message is that because of grace, because of Christ's work on the cross and God's grace, because of his mercy, we can be united with Christ. And in so being, we are in God the Father as well. And our inheritance, of course, is the kingdom of God. Keep that in mind. You know, this life is hard as we go through things. With pandemics, yes, but with other issues as well. This life is tough. Keep in mind your eternal destination. And keep in mind who's going to be there. And the reality is this. I've said it before concerning God. If you don't have any use for God in this life, what makes you think you'll enjoy him in heaven? But let me take that a step further. If you don't have any use for the church, and no, I'm not meaning this in some lofty sense. I mean, you need to be in a regular part of a Bible-believing church. And if you have no use for the church, what makes you think that you'll have any enjoyment in heaven? Because let me tell you who's going to be in heaven. It's going to be the church. Not every member of the visible church. There's going to be so many Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and independents in hell that their legs are going to be sticking out. Because church membership doesn't equate to Christianity. Please understand me. But the real church, those who are following Christ, that's who's going to be in heaven. And if you don't have any use for the church here, what makes you think you'll enjoy heaven? Keep those things in mind. Keep Jesus' request in mind. Of all the things he could ask for, this is it. And let that inform the way that you interact with one another. I'll be the first to say I'm not always the easiest to love. Really, I'm not. I'm selfish. I have my own issues. The reality is that all of us are that way. But keep your focus on what Jesus desired. Look at what he did for you and live out of gratitude for him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus, yes, but his life. We thank you for the high priestly prayer here in John 17. Help this to prompt us, or help us to be prompt to view one another in love and to foster unity, not at the sake of truth, not for the sake at the sake of your work, but instead to get real about this world that we're living in and unite together. And Father, in so doing, may so many people see you through us and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's see. I'd like to thank you all for being here this morning. We've got Rose and Mary Ann. Good morning. And there's Monica and Carol. Good morning. And Alice and Kim. Good morning. And amen indeed. Hopefully, hey, we made it through today. Hopefully tomorrow back at 7 a.m. and we won't have any issues. Until then, I hope you all have a blessed day. Oh, real quick. If you get here early in the morning and you see the live stream on, it's probably because I started it early just to make sure that everything is working well. I will be here at 7 a.m. tomorrow, Lord willing, for our daily devotion.